series of resolutions for a teenager to make to his parents.
Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Welcome, Val.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And I sent you a copy, didn't I, Val?
Yes.
I would love to hear what you think about them and also what your children's reactions might have been.
It's a wonderful list. It's a little bit overwhelming when I see any list of resolutions because I know what a failure I am at being able to keep resolutions. I think of Jonathan Edwards, who wrote for one New Year's Day, he wrote 70 resolutions that he was going to doing for that year, and one of his resolutions was that he would go over these resolutions every day of that year, and I just couldn't imagine how one man could keep up and continue with them. But this is a wonderful list, and when I showed them to my husband, he said, it's great as long as we don't make it the list that has to be kept and that we have to keep them following it and keep bugging them about saying, well, you resolved to do this, you haven't done this. If one of my teenagers were to take this list and say, Mama or Daddy, I really want to follow these resolutions, then I would happily take them and pray over them and trust that God will help the children to do that. I don't think I would want to take this resolution list and give it to each of my teenagers and say, this is what we want you to follow this year, and if you don't follow it, you're out of here. But I wanted to especially talk about four of the resolutions that were about work around the house, and I think it's especially important that teenagers are helping at home. They're perfectly capable of doing everything that the parents are doing practically in the home, and so let me read four of them. The very first one, resolved. I will obey your instructions and do what I know you expect of me, even when it is not mentioned. I will not force you into repeated reminders, which I sometimes call nagging. Resolved. I will not grumble or complain when I do my chores, but remember what a great thing it is to have a family and a home and clothes and food and running water and electric light and central heating in a world where millions of teenagers have none of these. Resolved, when I think your demands are unfair, I will move to do them first, and after showing an obedient attitude, I will ask if we can talk. Then I will explain my side and try to understand yours. Resolved, when I do something wrong and let you down, I will apologize sincerely with words that you can hear. Something like, Mom, I'm sorry I didn't pick up the pile of clothes. I think of how important it is to teach work and how to do work to young children so that they're in the habit of doing it by the time they're teenagers. I don't think you can start off with a 13-year-old if you haven't laid the foundation years before to a 13-year-old and say, this is what I expect of you to do from now on. If they haven't done any of it before, it's going to be almost impossible. Of course, you can make them with punishments, but the spirit of doing work in a cheerful way has to start out when they're 18 months to 3 years old, when they're really learning how to do things.
I can remember being taught how to sweep a room. You don't start at the door, you start back in the corner, and you sweep thoroughly, and you get those bristles down into the corners and into the baseboards. And then when I went away to school, I was 14 years old, and I found out we had to clean our rooms that had rugs in them, and we didn't have anything but a broom. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any vacuum cleaners.
Work is a reality of life, and I remember one day expecting my daughter to do some jobs while I had to go out, and she started to look glum when I gave her these jobs, and I said, Christiana, what's the matter? And she said, none of my friends have to do the amount of work that I have to do. And I said, well, you're a shepherd, and we're not trying to follow what other people are doing around here. We have lots of work to do all the time, and you're going to learn to do it here at home. She said, but I already know how to do them, and I can do them when I grow up, when I live in my own home. Because I had said, I want you to do them cheerfully. She said, well, I'll enjoy doing them when I'm in my own home, but why do I have to do them now? I'm still a child. And I said, Christiane, if there's one thing I want you to learn while you're at home, is to learn to do work cheerfully and thankfully. And if you don't learn to do it here, then you won't be doing it as an adult. Even in your own home, even if you're doing it for the husband that you love, you won't do it very cheerfully if you don't learn to do it first at home. And, of course, our cheerful attitude makes a big difference as we pass on that example. And these resolutions for a teenager are wonderful. I think of how grumbling and complaining, of course, has to be taken care of back when they're 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. And the more you take care of it earlier, the easier it will be for them to be in the habit of doing work without grumbling. And I remind my children when we have dishes to wash, when we have clothes to fold, that we can be so thankful that we have hands that work that can do those things, and we have eyes that see that those things need to be done, and we have ears to hear the needs of those around us. If little Theo is crying about something and I cannot get my hands out of the chicken that I'm picking, then I have to send one of my children to go help him. So we have feet to run to help someone, and I want my children to learn early on that there's work to be done, and it's a reality, and you don't get taught from books how to do work around the house. The mother has to teach the children how to do the work.
And her attitude is going to be clearly perceived by those children, even if she doesn't say anything about it. It would be very unrealistic to imagine that Christiana's prediction would ever come true, that I don't have to do it now, I'll love doing it when I'm married. I think I've shown you some of the horror stories that I've received in letters from people telling about the absolute chaos in their homes. Sometimes the letters are from husbands who say, what can I do? Our house is an absolute pig pen, and I don't know how to get my wife to do it any differently. And some of them are from women who just are sending out a great wail for help, saying, I don't know what to do. My house is chaos. I had a letter from a woman who told me that the laundry was 6 feet deep on the floor of the laundry room. So the training at home makes a very big difference. My mother kept a very neat house, and she taught us how to do the same kind of work. So,
Here's another resolution. Resolved, I will not stonewall you and give you the silent treatment, which I dislike when my friends do it to me. If I am depressed and want to be left alone, I will say, I'm sorry, I don't feel like talking now. Can we talk later? I'm not mad, I just need to be alone. Resolved, I will call you by affectionate family titles like Mommy or Daddy or Mom or Dad, and I won't let other kids pressure me into calling you nothing or calling you something disrespectful as though true affection were embarrassing or childish. Resolved, I will say thank you again and again for the ordinary things you do for me. I will not take them for granted as though you were my slave. I think of how last year I made lunches for Walter every morning, and Walter almost always thanked me as he went out the door. But there was one time when he actually wrote me a little note. I almost always put notes in his lunchbox, a verse or something for him to think about, and told him that I loved him. And there was one time when he left a note in his lunchbox for me to read when I came to fix his lunch the next morning, and he thanked me for all the lunches that I made for him and how he appreciated them, and he thanked me for the breakfast that I made for him, and that, of course, did my heart good. Resolved, I will talk about my feelings, both the positive ones like happiness, pity, excitement, sympathy, etc., and the negative ones like anger, fear, grief, loneliness, discouragement, etc. I will remember that unshared feelings leads to estrangement and coldness and even more loneliness and discouragement. I would have to give a little bit of warning maybe here, because there are many boys who can't express their feelings very well. And I don't think mothers, as they grow into teenagerhood, I don't think mothers should nag them and question them too much.
Crying.
I think it puts them off more. And I think boys and girls need to be aware that their mothers want to hear everything that they're interested in. But we mothers also need to give our sons some space and let them work on things in their own hearts, you know, without our asking them all the time, what are they thinking, what are they feeling?
Couldn't agree more. I think that's excellent because they're men. And
right.
You don't pry and probe into your husband's business all the time either.
Right. Okay. Here's another resolution. I will laugh with the family and not at the family. I will especially laugh when my little brother or sister tells a simple joke with expectant excitement. I think of how it hurts me when my older ones may roll their eyes or look disgusted at the younger ones who are excited about something. I want so much for us all to be encouraging each other and lifting each other up. This is a helpful resolution. Resolved, I will give 2 compliments for every criticism. Now that's a difficult one to follow through on. And every criticism will aim to help someone improve, not just belittle or cut down.
Thanks so much, Val.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.